Welcome. If you're a woman who has a sense that there's more out there for you, you're in the right place. I'm Whitney Baker, host of the Electric Ideas podcast. Somewhere along the line of work and kids, life carried on, but I lost track of my truth. I'm on a reflective journey, and that's what this podcast is all about. Each week, I interview a woman who is lighting her own path and offering others hope. Before our conversation ends, we'll share a reflective question for you to explore. Sometimes all we need is a jolt, a fresh idea, an aha moment that connects us to a sense of possibility. This, my friends, is what I call an electric idea.
Welcome back to Electric Ideas. I'm your host, Whitney Baker. I am really excited about today's episode because it speaks to one of the chief complaints I hear all the time from my clients, which is, I don't have enough time. This is recurring feedback inside of my community. Women say they don't have enough time to take care of themselves, or that there is never enough time to do what actually lights them up. Many of them say they're overwhelmed and overstretched so often that they feel like they're falling behind if they slow down, put down their to-do list, and appreciate the moment. And I hear you. Amidst the demands of work and community, and for many of us, being a partner, maybe being a mother, your home, and the rest of life, it can feel challenging for us to create space to show up for ourselves in all of the ways we want to. But deep down, we all know how much better we feel when we show up for ourselves, when we listen to and honor our needs and callings instead of ignoring them and pushing them down. And while in the swirl of life, it can sometimes feel selfish to care for our own needs, it's actually a generous act. Because when we feel vibrant and full in our own right, we bring more light and joy to every person and place we encounter. Beyond that, we experience more ease and flow in our average day, like we're swimming with instead of against the current. I know for me, I actually accomplish more when I'm able to approach tasks from a place of this overflow and expansive energy versus from an attitude of stress, lack, or force. So if you're saying, yeah, I agree with you, that all sounds good, but how is it actually done? Today is your day, because I'm going to get super granular with a handful of time management strategies that help me feel more empowered and on purpose in my days. You can explore any of the three strategies I'm going to share with you today individually, but I just want to point out that they support each other, so are also good to explore in tandem. So the three strategies I'm going to teach you today include: one, how to define your own day, how to prioritize yourself on your schedule to ensure you're actually spending time on what's going to move the needle in your life. Number two, how to defend against distraction. We'll discuss time blocking and other techniques that help you stay focused on your priorities and guard against pesky interruptions. And the third strategy I'm going to discuss today is how to set boundaries to stave off overwhelm. This is all about getting clearer and more realistic about what you already have going on instead of routinely overstretching yourself. And learn how to say no so that you're not routinely overstretching and overcommitting yourself, because that is a fast route to burnout. So before we dive into these simple but super effective strategies that support me in my day-to-day, I want to talk a bit about the concept of time scarcity, as it's something many people grapple with, sometimes every day, without even realizing it. Time scarcity is that feeling of having a mismatch between what we want and need to do, and feeling like we never have enough time to do it all. It's easy to feel this in our careers, but also in our personal lives. Maybe we want to move our bodies, cook proper meals, spend time with friends, have one-on-one time with our kids or partners, or read all the books. We all have our own lists. So what can we do about this time scarcity mindset? Well, we can start by simplifying our lives, perhaps doing less. If it's realistic for our circumstances, maybe we can explore outsourcing some of the tasks we dread the most. What it really comes down to is shifting our relationship, our mindset with time. And that might require some serious patience, practice, and reflection. In my past career, I was a journalist who shifted into being a creative for a marketing and PR agency. Both industries not only wreaked havoc on my nervous system, but also really exacerbated my sense of time scarcity. In the agency world, everything was always on fire or due yesterday. And no matter how much work you did, how many hours you billed, or how much you contributed, there was always more work and never enough people or time to get it all done. After having children, I really tipped into time scarcity mode for a while and faced a lot of anxiety around knowing all of the things I wanted or needed to do, but feeling like I never had the time to get to everything. Most women I know are juggling a million things, but at some point, we have to remember that we are human beings, not human doings, and that there is wisdom in rest and play and relaxation and taking care of our well-being. I still have to be really careful about not falling into bad habits in this area because with motherhood or any type of caregiving, there's always a mess, always a meal to think about or a load of laundry to do. And as it turns out, while there's a lot of freedom in being an entrepreneur, there's always something you could be working on. We all have our days or our weeks that are especially full, but I would encourage you to think and read more about this time scarcity trap. If most days you're panicking about unfinished tasks or you're regularly overwhelmed and not giving yourself much grace. When we start befriending time, prioritizing feeling full of ourselves and approaching being productive in a way that is realistic and not constantly stripping away at our mental health, then we're more thoughtful partners, parents, and friends, and we're more productive employees. And while it does not sound sexy at all, a big part of me being able to move past a feeling of time scarcity was to learn and adopt time management skills that help me be realistic about what I can actually expect of myself in a given day, as well as thinking big picture about how I'm spending my time and crafting my schedule instead of feeling like I'm just reacting and life is happening to me. So let's get into a few of these more nitty-gritty time management strategies that I hope will also support you. So number one is define your own day. I like to think about my calendar and my daily schedule not as a punishing productivity tool, but rather as an anchor that not just helps me stay organized, but also helps me feel intentional and like I'm routinely showing up for my priorities. I actually really like what Annie Dillard says about this. She says, "A schedule defends against chaos and whim. It is a net for catching days." I'm sure we've all experienced those days when we're pulled in a lot of directions and busy most of the day, but we can't exactly pinpoint what we got done or claim that it was a satisfying day. So I recommend scheduling out your day in a more proactive way and not just looking at the meetings or appointments and making sure you don't miss anything, but rather when you schedule your day, write down times for your wellness and habits that support your hopes and dreams, and treat those like non-negotiable appointments too. Otherwise, it's easy to do one last thing for work or get sucked into checking email or mindless scrolling and never actually get to the things that feel fulfilling in the long run. I like to practice writing down my three biggest priorities of the day. Some days, my big three priorities might be more work heavy or pulled from my to-do list. Other days, getting a good workout in or sitting in the sun without an agenda might be the most important thing. I found that when I clarify my three biggest priorities and I actually put them on my calendar first, so I know when within a day I'm going to do them, it relaxes me a bit because I have that sense of safety, knowing that I've carved out enough time in my schedule and I have a plan for when I'm going to do the things I want to do. If you happen to be somebody who gets the Sunday scaries, you might try writing out your Monday schedule the day before, because sometimes just looking at our calendar and realizing that we actually do have the time we need to do what we want and need to do can help us relax and live in the moment and not worry about the next day because we're not there yet and we've safeguarded time. We know we're going to get to what we need to get to. So just to reiterate, beyond work or productivity tasks, also put your wellness on your calendar. Maybe that's a quick workout or yoga or simply scheduling a walk break. When it's on the calendar and just part of your plan, you're much more likely to honor that space instead of just hoping a window opens up or that it just happens. It also provides a sense of mental clarity to have a plan and flow for the day. Otherwise, sometimes we waste a lot of time when we're not doing something productive, we're not relaxing, we're just kind of debating about what to do next. If you're at a point in your life where you're ready to stop making excuses and you're serious about something like getting in shape, reading more, making your art, or spending more time with your partner in your home in a way that feels like you're connecting and relaxing, it might feel weird or cheesy at first, but these are things that you might consider actually writing into your calendar. When I'm thinking about my week, it feels really empowering to say, I'm claiming space for XYZ today. Even if it's only 20 minutes, you will still feel the sense of joy, like you're living intentionally and living your best life because your day-to-day is peppered with things that are life-giving. This is not to be Pollyanna and say that, oh, everything's perfect all the time. We all do things that we don't love sometimes, and that's just part of life. But when we decide to claim space and make the room, we're living in a mode that's the opposite of time scarcity mode. We're not hurried and harried and frustrated at every turn. Now, one side note I want to make about this is my inner wild child does not like to be pinned down or boxed in. So again, I'm using my calendar and schedule as an ally, not a boss. I'll talk about this more when we get to the boundaries section, but one lesson I've had to learn over and over again is to be more realistic about how much time things actually take, and also that it's okay sometimes to expect less of myself, especially during times when there is something major going on, like an illness in the family. Professionally, this looks like refusing to book back-to-back calls or meetings. And more generally, I just carve out 15 to 30 minute windows in my calendar throughout my day and I write buffer. And this serves two important purposes for me. One, I feel a sense of time abundance versus pressure when I've already estimated how long it's going to take for me to do something, but I know I have extra time if I need it. So I don't constantly feel rushed or pressured. Secondly, buffers invite in opportunities for meaningful breaks, which are important, but also they allow for some spontaneity in our day, which is something as adults we don't always have, and I think we crave. My best days are usually when I have cracks in time, and I think about inviting in a little magic. Sometimes I get an unexpected call from a friend who I'd love to catch up with, or an invite that I'm excited to receive. And when my days are scheduled in a way that don't feel oppressive or back to back to back to back, I actually have the capacity to say yes to things I want to say yes to. Buffers also give me a chance to just ask myself, what do I feel like doing right now? We can't plan out our entire lives, and it's a gift to sometimes just be able to do whatever the heck you want in a given moment. I might sit on my patio in the middle of a workday and take a little break and read in the sun, and I don't feel like I'm behind. It's like a little gift to myself. My final note about time buffers is I encourage you to put on your calendar what I call an afternoon peace break. Whether that's working outside the home or in the home, this peace break is an important intentional pause. So before you reconvene with your whole family, or if you're coming from work, try to take a short peace break. This might be a time where you just turn everything off and you relax a little bit and you make an intention to release the momentum of your day and decide again how your evening is going to go. So we've defined our day a little bit. Now we're moving into strategy 2, which is defend against distraction. We live in a world where it's very easy to be constantly bombarded by news alerts, emails, texts, you name it. I could probably spend the majority of my free time in a day simply responding to things and, in a sense, giving away my brain power and attention to things that might not be a priority for me or supportive for the life I want to cultivate for myself. So how do we be realistic about living in the real world but defend against this distraction? Well, if you've made it this far, you know you're already creating a schedule that isn't just a puke out of to-dos, but also honors your callings and well-being. One sneaky part about distractions is that they're not necessarily negative or unproductive. For example, if I know in my heart it would be soul satisfying to routinely work on a creative project, maybe I'm starting small, I've penciled in a few times a week on my calendar that I'm going to hold that commitment to myself, it makes it easier to say, not right now, when I do things like open my linen closet and see that it's messy and feel like a reorganizing project has to happen immediately. Listen, I love simplifying and organizing my home, but there's always going to be things you could be doing, whether it's at home or work or for your family. So when your priorities are on your calendar, it's easier to squash distractions because you can only have so many priorities at once. Also, as I mentioned above, your daily schedule is entirely different than your to-do list. So life isn't always blissful. Sometimes we have to eat the frog, or so we say. But if you start the practice of writing down your daily top three list of priorities, as I already explained, start paying attention if your three priorities routinely are a list of things that suck life from you or feel like shoulds. Remember that we get to have life-giving things on our top priority lists regularly. This is how we ensure that by the end of the week, we're not sitting there wondering where all the time went or feeling completely spent as we head into the weekend. Your daily top three should regularly give a nod to the vision and goals you have for living out your best life in your current circumstances. Aside from simply clarifying what your priorities are and writing them down, here's some ways you can actually make sure you're getting to these priorities and protecting your time. So the first thing I would do is create what I call chunk time. I usually work in blocks of about 40 to 90 minute chunks, especially if I have a cerebral or creative task I'm working on. What I do is set a timer for the chosen amount of time on my phone. Sometimes I pop in earbuds and listen to classical music or binaural beats. I turn my blinders on all distractions, and I give myself space to drop into a task without being interrupted. I will say this method works both in traditional work settings and when you're taking care of your home. For example, if you're a mom who has recurring tasks that you like to handle around the house, if you don't protect your time and you let yourself get distracted and overwhelmed, it's likely that you're going to start a bunch of projects and not complete anything. It's really a gift to yourself to commit to having uninterrupted time. Perhaps the most common routine task that I use a timer for is checking email. I am a stickler about email. I have in the past worked in always-on environments where you're supposed to respond to every email immediately, and I can say I do not miss that at all. I know it's not a choice for all of us, but I think people give away so much headspace on email and then don't get to the things that are actually going to move the needle for them personally and professionally. So since I have more choice with this right now, in this juncture of my career and life, what I don't do is slow drip check email throughout my day, especially in times when I'm out somewhere and not in a position to actually respond. What I do practice is setting a timer for a short amount of time, either once or twice a day, and knocking out as many emails as I can during that time. Again, I acknowledge that some of you work in more time-sensitive industries, but I encourage you to think about your email best practices as it can really distract you from deeper thinking and productivity. And many times it's things that can wait and things that require less brain power. So my mind is freshest in the morning. So I'm not going to sit there and clear out my inbox during that time because most of my emails don't require peak cognition. So if you're someone who needs to always be pruning your emails, try scheduling time to do that when you know you're not at your sharpest, maybe in the late afternoon dip. And finally, in the area of defending against distraction, I already mentioned not letting email leak into every hour of your day. But when I set a timer for deep work, I turn off all notifications across the board, and I encourage you to do this too. I don't look at texts. I don't answer calls. There's no alerts coming through on social media or my phone. I'm not someone who gets alerts for many things to begin with, so that's not hard for me. But I just encourage you to take stock of these constant interruptions and see if you can block out time where you actually just get to do the thing or do the work or whatever your priority is for that day, and really just let yourself have that time to be present without distractions. So many women pride themselves on multitasking, but I think it can be detrimental to our mental health. You expend a lot of mental energy when your brain shifts from one activity to the next and back and forth, and it makes it really hard to get into deep thinking or a flow state, and your most important tasks don't get the airtime they need and probably end up taking a lot longer to complete. Here's one final note on defending against distraction. So just like a machine, I start malfunctioning if I have too many tabs open. It signals chaos to my brain. So when we give ourselves time to single task, we're more likely to actually complete something, to close a tab on something. And as we all know, that's a very satisfying feeling. And I think it's really supportive for women's mental health because we're expected to multitask. But when we're pinging around all the time and not dropped in and not paying attention, our stress level will inevitably build. We'll likely get to a point where we have too many tabs open. And that's when we start totally tipping into a sense of overwhelm. Moving on to our third and final time management strategy, which is setting boundaries in order to stave off overwhelm. Lots of women say yes to tasks, even when it's in their best interest to say no. I saved this third strategy for last for a reason, because when you go to the effort to clarify what matters most and define your day, which was strategy one, then you prioritize tasks and habits that support you, time block these tasks and habits, and defend against distractions, all of which we talked about in strategy two, then it becomes really clear how much time you actually have to work with in any given day or week, and much easier to say no without overthinking it. Sometimes it's just so clear. It's a simple no because you simply don't have bandwidth. For example, if someone we care about asks something of us, or someone we respect at work asks us to do something, we can choose to say yes. But when we do, that is time we're not spending elsewhere. So we are saying no to something else. When you've time blocked or written out your schedule, then you know exactly what it is you're trading off, so you can make a clear decision. I've always been super ambitious about everything I want to do in a given day. So getting realistic about how much time I have and not cramming my schedule and overcommitting has been a life skill I've reflected on a lot. I'll never put someone down for wanting all the things, but speaking from my own challenges and lessons in this area, I can almost promise you that routinely being unrealistic about how much time you have in a given day can lead to disappointment and frustration. So like I said, all of these strategies are interrelated. I want to give you a few examples. So in the workplace, it helps you negotiate your workload if you use your calendar and these strategies as empowering tools. You simply can't get booked into meetings all day and expected to get meaningful work done. You might be surprised at how well received it could be if you communicate your need to focus and have uninterrupted time to actually do the work. And if you happen to work in an environment where other people can access and claim time on your calendar, I highly suggest blocking out time for focused work and being honest with your colleagues about how important it is for you to have boundaries around this time. I'll give you another example. At home, having conversations with your loved ones and asking for specific help, not just because, but because you really care about spending time on something, can be super effective. Instead of slipping into bitter mode and thinking you need to control how everything is done around the house, it can be fruitful to make a specific, kind ask without attachment to the outcome. But usually your people want to support you in showing up for your priorities. Here's an example. Maybe it's the weekend. I don't schedule my weekends the same way I schedule my weekdays. They can be a lot more unpredictable. But maybe you had an hour on your calendar because you were committed to making your art. You could say to your family, I really want to work on my art for an hour this morning. Would you be willing to? Then fill in the blank. Maybe it's go to the grocery store. Maybe it's just going to the park and getting out of the house so you can have a quiet space. I know that there's formal clinical definitions and the term boundary can get thrown around in lots of different ways. But the way I like to think about boundaries is getting clear about what I'm putting a fence around and prioritizing so that my no's become clear and simple. So how do we say no? Remember when we agree to too many requests, we get overwhelmed and exhausted. When we're chronically overwhelmed and exhausted, we're really not doing ourselves or anyone else any favors. We're more reactive. We're more liable to say things we don't mean and make choices that do not align with our highest self. And we're actually doing physical harm to our minds and bodies when we're constantly bathed in stress. So next time you simply don't have capacity, practice saying no. You can be gracious, but always be honest, clear, and sincere. Nobody likes excuses or wishy-washy energy. As you get wiser with age, you probably have a good idea of what depletes you. If it's an invitation you want to do, but it just doesn't fit in your week, suggest a time for a few weeks out and then put it on your calendar. Don't be the person who's always overcommitted, half in and half out, running late or leaving early from every gathering, or people who aren't feeling that energy will stop inviting you to do cool things. You'll miss out on quality people and cool experiences. So when you overcommit, you're not only doing a disservice to yourself, but to everybody else who's getting this half-assed energy version of you. We have been trained as women, often since childhood, be it from society, family, wherever, to overwork and overgive, to validate our existence by producing and achieving. And this is a deeper topic for another day, but I think it points to why many women are completely overwhelmed, but also like, what the hell am I even doing? Remember that your personal success is based on feeling how you want to feel in your own life. You get to create your own dream life where your success is based on inner fulfillment and perhaps a sense of peace versus needing external validation or kudos for always being the one doing more or giving more, more, more. This is a topic I'm so passionate about because how we spend our days defines our entire life. So I want to give you a quick recap of the strategies we covered with hopes that you'll be excited to apply them in your own life. So as I mentioned, a chief complaint from my clients is that they don't have enough time. They often say things like, I never have time to myself. I always feel behind. Now is not the right time. It's never enough time. I feel like my time isn't my own. I don't feel like I'm getting to things. And the list goes on and on. Well, we all have seasons where life is lifiness, and we simply get to practice surrendering and giving ourselves as much grace as possible. Being in chronic time scarcity mode is super disempowering for women. If you keep telling yourself and repeating out loud these time lack messages, my guess is that you will continue to live in time scarcity mode. If you're ready for new possibilities, then start by exploring the three simple strategies I laid out today, which were defining your own day. Again, I've really shifted my views on scheduling my days. It's not just a productivity tool, but rather a lifestyle tool that helps us ensure we are living intentionally and actually prioritizing what is important to us. Don't forget about the time buffers. They will help ensure you actually close the loop on important projects and that you aren't stressed and rushing so much throughout your day, and hopefully leaving a little space for unexpected magic. Secondly, we talked about defending against distraction. Blocking out time in your calendar for your priorities, recurring tasks, and healthy habits gives you such a sense of control. It's the opposite of feeling like you're running around with a chicken with your head cut off. So quit obsessively checking your email, turn off your notifications, set a timer, and allow yourself to actually drop into these meaningful priorities. Finally, setting boundaries to stave off overwhelm. We get to create space to show up for our priorities and our people, and to relax and play, maybe do something creative, because we ultimately are better people and more equipped to be productive in this world when we tend to these things. When someone asks something of you, first, trust your gut, then check your calendar. Be realistic and either show up fully or say no thank you without the guilt. We get to practice living with a broader sense of peace and purpose, which is the opposite of feeling like we're just chasing down our to-do lists and scraping by haphazardly. When we embrace our ability to say no, we are simply being wise and protecting our rhythms, needs, and priorities versus giving other people the power to decide how our time should be spent. So I hope these strategies will help you turn time into your abundant ally, not a source of anxiety. Can you practice showing up on purpose without constant distractions or overcommitments? I always end my episode with a reflection, so here's yours today. We are more than a third of the way through 2024 already. Time marches on. So what are you going to create time for this month? Thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider sharing the love and sending it to a friend. I hope you have an inspired day.
I'm so glad you joined me today. If you're looking for more, feel free to connect with me on Instagram at Whitney Woman. And if you enjoyed the show, I invite you to support me by leaving a review or sharing it with a friend. Hope you have an inspired day.